Okay, today's daf is Vavbasar, daf Kuf Lamed Vav. We left off on daf Kuf Lamed Hey Amid Beis. We were in the middle of discussing, first of all, today's shir is sponsored by Adina and Jeremy Herskowitz, Lezecha Nishmas, Adina's grandfather, Yitzchak Yeruchim Fishel Ben Moshe, Zechron Levracha. It is chus for our living, the Neshama Shev Naliyah, and we thank Jeremy and Adina once again very much for the sponsorship. So we are holding on the bottom of Kuf Lamed Hey Amid Beis. The Gemara is in the middle of discussing over here if a Shchiv Merah says to give all of his nechasim and to write that to write a shtar on all of his nechasim, but then he dies before a shtar is ever written. So normally, divrei Shchiv Merah kiksuv nukum surin dami. He doesn't have to say to write, but when he says not only to give, but he actually adds, and I want it to be written also, is that a hakpada that he dafka wants it to be written, and without it being written, then the kinyan shnapi chal? Or do we say no? It's icing on the cake. Of course, divrei Shchiv Merah kiksuv nukum surin dami, and the writing is not going to be ma'akev anything. So maybe the writing is just to give extra koach to it. So that's going to be, we're going to finish that discussion Bez Hashem today, and then we're going to move on to the Mishnah on Kuf Lamed Vav Amud Aleph, where it's going to discuss if a person wants to give while he's alive and healthy. He wants to give his nechasim to his son, but he doesn't want his son to actually take possession of them till after he dies. Why would he want to do that? He wants to lock it in that these nechasim will go to his son, because right now he's going to get married and he might have other children, and he has a wife who's going to have tainas and nuksuba that she'll be able to collect from all these nechasim. So he doesn't want a shibud on all those nechasim. He wants that to go to his son. So what does he do in order to make it work? La'achar misa. Does he need to say mehayom la'achar misa? Or maybe it's not necessary to say mehayom la'achar misa. We're going to discuss in the Gemara the difference between saying mehayom la'achar misa by a get versus saying mehayom la'achar misa by a matana like this, where you're trying to give something to your son. And even though there's machlokas tanayim, whether you have to say mehayom for this kinyan to be chal, it's possible that if there was a kinyan Sudar, then all agree that you don't have to say Mehayom, and the Gemara is going to discuss the details of that, of what the Kinyan Sudar could affect, and maybe it depends how the Kinyan Sudar is described in the Shtar. Then at the very bottom of the page we're going to begin a Machlokas Amorayim. What happens if the son sells those Nechasim that he's slated to get after his father dies, and then the son predeceases the father? What happens to the guy who bought those nechasim from the son? We're going to have a machlokas amarayim whether that guy is entitled to the nechasim or not. And that machlokas is going to be based on the issue of kinyan aperos kikinyan aguftami, olav kikinyan aguftami. Because if you think about it, when the father is kosef kol nechasim, that his son should only take possession after he dies, but he should already become the owner right now, it means that right now the son owns the guf and the father owns the peros. So is the father's ownership of the peros considered an ownership, or is it not considered an ownership? So the Gemara is going to talk about why we need to be told that same machlokas about kinyan aperos kikinyan aguftami, olav kikinyan aguftami, both over here and elsewhere in a different context when it comes to mikra bikurim. We also have the same discussion whether kinyan aperos kikinyan aguftami, olav. Why would we need to have the same machlokas appear twice? So that's going to be the discussion. The primary discussion of Amud Beis is going to be about kinyan aperos kikinyan aguftami olo. So we left off on daf kuf lamed hey Amud Beis about the fourth wide line, the ode. So we were in the middle of talking about how someone said, whether it be Rabbi Yochanan or Rabbi Lazar, one of them said that a shchiv merah, who instead of just saying give this property to so-and-so, which would have been perfect, but he added, he didn't just say give it, he said kisvu utnu manal ploni, I want you to write it and give it, and then he dies before we ever have a chance to write a shtar. So somebody said that kosvin v'nosin, you can write the shtar, I'm sorry, that ain kosvin v'nosin, you cannot write the shtar after he dies, because maybe he only wanted this kinyan to be chal with the shtar. And if you couldn't write the shtar while he was alive, then the kinyan cannot be chal. So maybe the rule of kinyan of divrei shchiv merah kiksuv nukum surin dami is cancelled when he insists that there be a shtar as well. So either Rabbi Lazar or Rabbi Yochanan said that, and then the other one said, yeah, it's chazek, that's absolutely true, and support that statement. So we were discussing yesterday who supported who? Who's the one that originally made the statement, and who's the one that supported the statement? So we said it's more mistaver that that Rabbi Lazar is the one that made the statement, and Rabbi Yochanan is the one that voiced support for the statement, because Rabbi Lazar was a Talmud of Rabbi Yochanan. So a Talmud will say a Chiddush, he needs sometimes the backup that the Rebbe will say that my Talmud is correct. But it's less mistaver that Rabbi Yochanan would have said the statement, and then Rabbi Lazar will voice support, because Rabbi Lazar, being a Talmud, what is Rabbi Yochanan? It's a chutzpah. Rabbi Yochanan needs the support of the Talmud in order for his statement to be accepted. So more likely that Rabbi Lazar is the one that said it, and Rabbi Yochanan was the one that reinforced it. So the Gemara is going to say, and another proof that Rabbi Lazar is the one that said it, va'od tashma. The Rabbi Lazar amra, another raya that Rabbi Lazar is the one that said it, the shalach Ravin mishmed Rabbi Avohu. Ravin sent in the name of Rabbi Avohu, have a yodim sheshalach Rabbi Lazar legola. You should know that Rabbi Lazar sent a message from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel, Mishum Rabbeinu, Shchiv Mera Sha'amar, Kisvu, Utnu Mano Leploni, Umeis, our exact case. This is the statement we're looking for. A Shchiv Mera who says, I want you to write and give this money to this guy, and then the Shchiv Mera dies. Ein kosvin vinosnin. We do not write it, we do not give it, the kinyan is not chal, shema lo gamar laknosa lebishtar, because maybe the intention of the Shchiv Mera is that he only wanted it to work if there's going to be a shtar. The ein shtar, the achar misa, and you can't have a shtar after the guy is already dead. Rabbi Yochanan amar tibadik. Now in this version, instead of Rabbi Yochanan saying, right on, I agree, Rabbi Yochanan says tibadik. It needs to be investigated. So my tibadik, what needs to be investigated exactly? I mean, it sounds like, yes, sometimes Rabbi Lazar is correct, sometimes he's not. We have to check more into the metzius of what went on over there. So what are we checking? Kiyas Rav Dimi Amar, so Rav Dimi explained two things. And the way the Rashbam understands this Kiyas Rav Dimi, and the way the Ritva understands this Kiyas Rav Dimi, is that Rav Dimi says two halachos. The first halacha is completely irrelevant to our sugya. We're just trying to bring a raya from the second statement of Rav Dimi of what it is that Rabbi Yochanan thinks you have to check in our case. The first statement was Daitiki mevatelas daitiki, that if a person has a daitiki, a second daitiki will be mevatel the first daitiki. That's the first statement, which has nothing to do with anything. What does it mean? A shchiv mera who writes his nechasim, that his nechasim should go to a certain guy, and then he writes another shtar, that his nechasim should go to another guy, the second guy is kona, because a shchiv mera is always able to be chozer from his matana. So obviously that's what he did. He's been chozer from his matana. That is a specific rule that applies only to a shchiv mera. A bari is not able to be chozer matana, so I'm not allowed to give you a matana and then say, oh, now I changed my mind, now the matana goes to somebody else. I gave a wedding present 6 months ago. I cannot call the couple up and say, I changed my mind, that matana that I gave you now belongs to so and so. You're not allowed to do that if you're a bari, but a shchiv mera is able to do that. That is halacha number one of Rav Dimi, irrelevant to our sugya according to the way the Rashbam and the Ritva understand our sugya. But the second halacha is very relevant. Shchiv Mera Sha'amar Kisvu Tnu Mana L'Ploni. A Shchiv Mera who says, I want you to write and give this mana to this guy, Umeis, and then he dies before we ever have a chance to write anything. So should we say that Divrei Shchiv Mera Kiksuv Nekum Surindami and it belongs to him? Or do we say, no, he insisted on a ksiva? So Rowan, we have to check it out. Im kimi yape es kocho kosvin. If it seems that what the Shchiv Mera was trying to accomplish by insisting on a ksiva was to just strengthen the koach of the recipient, to give him not only the normal matana, but to be able to have a shtaraya that he has this matana, to be able to have something in hand that says that he has this matana, then kosvin. V'imlav ein kosvin. But if it doesn't seem that he was just trying to strengthen the kinyan, it doesn't seem that that's what he was doing, it seems that he was insistent that this matana should only apply with a shtar, well then we cannot write a shtar matana after the guy's already dead. Look, if it were a shtar raya, fine, we could write that after he's dead, the matana's already given, we just need a proof that this matana was given, so we could write a shtar that proves it was already given. But if this is meant to be a shtar matana, this is meant to be the shtar by which the transaction happens, you can't do that after he's dead. Mas Rabbi Abar Mamal Bari Sha'amar Kisvu Tnu Mano Leploni Umeis Ein Kosvu Menosin. Ask the Gemara, but wait a second, if you have a healthy person who says Kisvu Tanu, and then he dies, you for sure cannot write the shtar. Sounds like that's only a din by a healthy person, a shchiv mira, kosev v'nosein. Sounds like if it were a shchiv mira, then yes, you could be kosev v'nosein. So doesn't that tell you that by a shchiv mira it's okay to be kosev v'nosein against Rabbi Lazar and against Rabbi Yochanan's tibadek, against Rabbi Yochanan's idea of checking? We don't check, we just do, we write. So hum mosav lav v'hum mefarikla v'miyapes kocho. He asked the question, but he also answered it. When are we kosvin v'nosnin? Only if it seems that the intention was to be miyapa es kocho, to strengthen his position and to give him a shtar raya on top of what he already has. So hechidami miyapa es kocho. How do you know? Were we mind reading? How exactly are we going to be able to tell whether his intention was to be miyapa es kocho or his intention was not to be miyapa es kocho? So says Gemara, kada amar Rav Chisda v'kanina minei mosif al matanta da. He says that the way to tell by a shtar shchiv mira that's written that it should be a kinyan matana, if it would have said v'kanina milei mosav al matan todah, which means that the kinyan should be a chizik to the matana, so you don't have to worry that he's only trying to be makna with a shtar, and oh no, you can't have a shtar la'achar misa. Clearly his intention is that the kinyan is only to be mechazek what he already said balpeh, but what he said balpeh, that was the real kinyan. So over here as well, if he says af ksovu v'chasamu, that not only do I want the matana to be chal, but I also want something in writing that this guy should be able to have in his hand as a raya that the matana was chal. So that's how we know that it was liyapa as kocha, that it was only to give him the upper hand, to give him some strength to his to this matana that he now has a raya. Itmar, so we're going to bring the halacha, Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel, halacha kosvin v'nosin. The halacha is, if a guy says, to be miyapa the koach, he says, tenu, and af kisvu, he says, I want you to give, and I want you to write, even after the fellow dies, the nosin dies, we are able to write and give the property over to the person, Amar Rava, Amar Rav Nachman, halacha kosvin v'nosin. That we paskin, we are kosev v'nosin. Now, from the fact that it says halacha, the Yad Ramah points out, it sounds like it's a machlokas. So what's the machlokas that's coming to tell us against Rabbi Lazar, who holds that even if it's your miyapes kocha, the makabel is not zocha? So the Gemara says, no, we paskin like Rabbi Yochanan. So again, we had two versions of what exactly how this conversation happened. First version was that Rabbi Lazar is the one that made the statement, you cannot write anything after the fellow dies. And Rabbi Yochanan says, right on, I agree with that. I agree 100% with that. The second version was that Rabbi Lazar says, you cannot write anything. Rabbi Yochanan says, well, wait a second. Let's take a look at what the fellow's intention was. If the guy's intention was to be miyapas kocho, yes, you can. In disagreement with Rabbi Lazar, yes, you can. You're able to write something after he dies, as long as the intention is to be miyapas kocho. So we're paskining like Rabbi Yochanan in that second version, where Rabbi Yochanan is doing more than just supporting Rabbi Lazar. He's saying that it's more nuanced. You have to be able to see whether his intention is to be miyapas kocho or not to be miyapa es kocho. Now, that's how the Yad Ramah is medayik from the fact that we say that halacha. Now, the Gemara had said that if a bari says kisvu tenuman leploni and then he dies, we're ein kosvin v'nosin. If a bari says I want you to write and give this to so and so, and then he dies, we do not write anything after he dies. So says the Yad Ramah, l'chori you could be medayik from the fact that the Braisa says that if he was a bari and he dies, that ain't kosvin v'nosin l'achar misa, that while he's alive, it's kain kosvin v'nosin. Meaning, we discussed, what was the diuk we made? A healthy person says kisvu tenu, and then he dies, don't write. So we said, oh, must be that if a shchiv mira says it, then yes, do write. Okay, but what if we go in the other direction? Not if a shchiv mira says it. A bari says it, and he doesn't die. He stays alive. So now, do we write the shtar? So he says, yeah, of course, then you'd be kosvin v'nosin. However, says the Yad Ramah, while you would be enticed to make that diuk is obviously incorrect. Because what does it mean? Kisvu tenu. The idea that divrei shchiv mira kiksuvin kumsurin dami is only by a shchiv mira. A bari is not able to be makna anything ba'amira, or even b'ksiva in such a way, where the man is metaltalin. Over here we're talking about he's giving metaltalin, he's not giving a shtar, he's not giving karka. When you give karka, yes, a shtar is a valid kinyan on karka. Not on metaltalin, you're not makna metaltalin by writing a shtar. So when we talk about a bari who dies, it's being mechadesh that even though he said kisvu tenu, and we see that he wants to give it as a matana, it's not, we don't have a din of mitzvah l'kayim divrei meis, and therefore you don't have to be kosev v'nosin, because the din of mitzvah l'kayim divrei meis is only when he gives the matana to a shlish, into a third party, in order to give it lachar misa. That's where we say mitzvah l'kayim divrei meis. But if a bari says to give karka, which really can only be nikneis b'shtar, so then mechayim we would write it and we would give it as long as he hasn't been chozer, and you would be kona with that shtar. But lachar misa we would not, because if you know saying, because he clearly only wants that he only wants the kinyan to work with that shtar, and the shtar can't work lachar misa. So that's what the Adrama points out, that the diuk you would be enticed to make, that if he's a bari who says this on metaltalin and then doesn't die, that you would follow through and you would be kosher v'nosin, that diuk is incorrect, because certainly nothing would happen if he is a bari, because you cannot be makna metaltalin in such a way. That is the ha'ara of the Adrama. Says the Gemara, the Mishnah now, new Mishnah on Kuf Lamed Vav Amud Aleph. Hakosev nechasav lebanav. A person wants to write that all of his nechasim should belong to his child, should belong to his children, let's say starting now, but he still wants to be able to benefit from those nechasim while he's alive. Well, why doesn't he just wait till he dies and let them have a Yerusha? Why would he give it to them right now? So says the Rashbam, Bari Sharotza Lisa Isha. He's a healthy person, he wants to get married. Ve'eno Rotza L'shabed Nechasov L'ishto. He doesn't want to be meshabed all of his nechasim to his wife. Pen yafsidu banim sheyesh lo meishto rishona. Maybe because he's afraid that the children that he already had from his previous wife are going to lose out. So he wants them to get all of his nechasim after he dies. He doesn't want his new wife to get everything. They're nervous about him getting married, and they tell him, Dad, we're nervous you're getting remarried. The new wife is going to take the whole Yerusha. We're not going to get anything. So he says, don't worry, I'll take care of you. I'm going to write all of the nechasim. It's all going to belong to you. None of it is going to become mishuba to her. But, you know, I don't want to give you my house today. I do plan on living for a little bit longer. So ela sheyochal peros b'chayev. So he's going to still enjoy the peros of that property. He's still going to get the profits of the business and everything else until he dies. So that's where the case that our Mishnah is talking about. Because normally, when a person signs a ksuba, everything in the ksuba, meaning the payment of that ksuba, is all of his nechasim are meshubad to the payment of the ksuba. So the woman is entitled to go to any of his properties that he still owns. So he's trying to relinquish ownership before he signs the ksuba. So that way it will not become meshubad to her. Whatever property he has will not become meshuba to her in the ksuba. So good. So says the Mishnah. Kosev nechasim lebanim. So this is what the guy is trying to pull off. He's trying to give his nechasim to his children. Tzarech sheyichtov mehayom ulachar misa divrei Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says he has to use the phrase mehayom, that the matana is chal today, ula achar misa, but it's only going to be complete after I die. But if he just writes that lachar misa, so without the word me'ayom, it's not going to be chal at all, because lachar misa, he's unable to transfer any property lachar misa. Rabbi Yossi Omer eno tzark. Rabbi Yossi says, nah, he doesn't have to say me'ayom lachar misa. Even if he just says that he's giving it lachar misa, the matana begins today, because that's when he's actually writing it, and the matana is concluded lachar misa. But you don't need to spell that out. You don't need to say me'ayom. Just say la'achar misa. That's the machlokas tanaim. Hakosim nechasav l'bno la'achar moso. If he does this, whether it be according to Rabbi Yehuda by writing me'ayom, according to Rabbi Yossi without writing me'ayom, he does it in a way that's effective, that he writes his nechasim over to his son. So the halacha is, the father's not able to sell these nechasim because they already belong to the son. The kinyan aguf already belongs to the son. The son is not able to sell these nechasim because the father has the kinyan peros on it, and therefore the son is not able to sell it because it's still in the rishos of the av. Machar av, Mechurim Atshiyamus. If the father goes ahead and does sell it, well, so long as he's alive, whoever bought it from him is going to get whatever the father would have had while he's alive, meaning the father still gets to keep the business and enjoy the profits of the business while he's alive, so the guy who bought it from him will still get to enjoy the profits of the business only so long as the father's alive. Once the father dies, the lokeach loses out and it goes to the son. Machara ben, if the son sold it, even though he was the owner of the kinyan aguf, ein lokeach ben klum at shiyamos av, the lokeach doesn't actually get anything practically until the father dies, because the son would not have gotten anything practically from it until the father dies. That was the deal. So the lokeach from the father, the lokeach from the son, walks right into the position of the father or the son. Now, the Rashbam explains that the father is not able to sell the nechasim legamri, meaning both the guf and the peros, and neither can the son, because neither of them is the owner legamri, which makes it sound like that lechachila, the father is allowed to sell the peros, because that he does own. And lechachila, the son is allowed to sell the guf, because he does own that. And lechora, that's what the rest of the Mishnah that we just read is saying, that if the father sells it, good, so the guy owns the peros. The son sells it, good, the guy owns the guf. Nothing wrong with that's perfectly fine. However, if you look in the Rambam, in the 12th parak of Hilchos Zechiyah Matana Alach Yud Gimel, the Rambam formulates it as follows. He writes, Avar ha'av umachar mechurim atshiyamus. If the father violates the halacha and sells it, then it's going to be sold at shiyamos, at least the lokeach will have it until the father dies. Over haben umachar. If the son violates the halacha and sells it, the lokech gets nothing until the father dies. So the Bach is medayik from the Lashon of the Rambam and Chosha Mishpat and Reishon and Zayin, that the father has an isra lechachila to sell even just the peros, because maybe the lokech is going to be a difficult person to deal with, and the son is going to have a hard time retrieving it from the lokech. And that's why when the Mishnah says ha'av eini yochel limkar, it means he's not permitted to sell, even if he's just selling what is rightfully his. He's not permitted to do so because he's causing difficulty for his son. And lechora, the son also has an issur to sell the guf b'chaye av, because maybe the father's not going to be happy about that. The father doesn't want to see that the son is already selling off the family business. For the second he dies, that he knows it's gonna be out of the family. The son had to give him such a hard time that he had to guarantee that his son would have it, and then the son pre-sells it already. He's already squandered the whole thing. That may not make the father happy, so the son's not permitted to do this either. Now, when we said that if the father does sell it, so good, so the lokeach will be able to enjoy the peros so long as the father's alive, Rashbam explains that even though the father sold it stam, and he didn't say exactly what he was saying, he didn't say, I'm only selling you the peros, but still the mechira is going to be chal only on the peros, because that's all the father really owns, even though he just told the lokeach, I'm selling you this business, I'm selling you this property. The Ritva just points out that that's only if the lokeach is okay with that. But if the lokeach comes and he says, whoa, wait a second, I only get this until you die? I had no, you told me you were selling me a property. I assumed it belonged to you. This is a mekach taus. So the lokeach has every right to scream mekach taus and say that he wants his money back. He wants the whole mekach to be batel. What the Rashbam means to say is if the lokeach does not claim mekach taus, he's perfectly fine with that arrangement, that he's going to get the peros only so long as the father's alive. Good, so in that case, the father didn't have to had specified that it was only for the peros. Mishael Melch just points out that in the Rashba, it sounds against the Ritva, because the Rashba writes, and Daf Mem Tesvin Beis, that if a husband sells Nichsei Melug, which is the Guf HaKarka belongs to the wife, the Peros belong to the husband, and the husband sells the Nichsei Melug as if it's totally his. Leguf Ule Peros. The entire Mekach is Batel, even if the Lokeach is okay with it. The whole Mekach is Batel. We don't listen to the Lokeach because it was the whole thing was misrepresented. So it sounds from the Rashba that when you only own a Kinyan Peros in something and you sell it off as if you were the owner of the Kinyan Peros and the Kinyan Aguf, it's an automatic Bitl Mekach, against what the Ritva is saying over here, that as long as the Lokeach is okay with it, that it's perfectly fine. So Mishnah Melech says maybe it's not really a Machlokas. Maybe the Rashba is only talking talking about, where the lokeach was misratze with the kinyan peros for the amount of money that it's actually worth, and he asks the mocher to give him back the extra money. So that's where we say that the mocher could say, no, we're being mevatel the whole mekach. I was only, I charged you $100,000 for it. You're now realizing that the kinyan peros is only worth $30,000. So you want a $70,000 refund. That's where we say that the mekach is going to be batel. But the Ritva is talking about where the lokeach is okay with the price he already paid. Yeah, I paid you $100,000 for it. I thought it was for everything. I thought it was the kinyan peros. You tell me it's only for the kinyan peros, not for the kinyan peros. Fine, that's good too. Still a good deal. I'm still happy with it. That's where the Ritva is going to say that we're not going to automatically assume a bittul mekach. So that's how the Mishul Melech is metarets, that the Rashba and the Ritva are not necessarily going against each other. Typically, the Rashba and the Ritva don't go against each other. They're from the same school of thought, typically. Okay, says Gemara, v'chikasmei ayom alach remisa mayhavi. Why does it help to write the words mayayom alach remisa? That makes it that the kinyan is going to be chal after he dies. Hatanan, didn't we learn in Mishnah in Gittin, mayayom alach remisa get veino get, that if a person uses such a lashon in a get, that the halacha is it's a safek get, v'imeis chaletzas lomis yavemes, and therefore if the guy dies before they have any children, she cannot do yibum because maybe they were never really married, but she does need chalitza. Because she cannot do yibum because maybe they are divorced, but she does need chalitza because maybe they're not divorced. So you see that it's a safek. So it says Gemara, yeah, hasa misafkalan. When it comes to a get, we have a safek. Itanoa havi, ichazara havi. What exactly the person's intention was when he says me'ayom alach remisa by giving a get? Does he intend to make it tonight, or is he backing out? He initially said me'ayom, and they go, on second thought, lach remisa. Well, that's what he was doing. He was backing out. He was saying, on second thought, lach remisa. Well, then the get is 100% invalid because you cannot be megarish lach remisa. If it was just a tenai, I want the get to be chal today, I'll tenai that one day I die. So good. As soon as that tenai is fulfilled, the get is going to be chal today. So, aval hacha, hachi kamerlei. But over here, when it comes to giving over property, we know exactly what he intends to do. It's not an issue of whether it's not a suffix whether he means a tanai or he means a chazara. No, he clearly means to be makne the guf today, and the peros will only start being yours la'achar misa. Now, our Gemara makes the assumption that by a get, it's a suffix what he really means. Is it a tanai or is it a chazara? This happens to be a machlok in Maseches Kiddushin on Daf Samach Amud Aleph. What our Gemara assumes as a Davar Pashut is the Shita of Rav, that Me'ayom Alach Remisa is a Suffolk, whether it's a Tanai or it's a Chazara. The Shita of Rabbi Yochanan is that Me'ayom Alach La'achar Zman, Me'ayom Alach Remisa is Me'ayom Alach Zman, that the Maisa is Chal Me'ayom, but there's a Shiur, he's leaving something out, like a person's Mekadish Nisha, Me'ayom Alach Shalshim Yom. The Kiddushin begins right away, but it's only Nigmar after 30 days. So if someone else were to come and were to be Mekadesher within those 30 days, both Kiddushins have to be reckoned with. Meaning we normally think of a woman as she's either married or she's not married. Comes Rabbi Yochanan, he's Mekadesh, such a thing as half married, not Erisin and Nisun. Half married, that she's sort of married to this guy, and therefore there's still a little bit more Kiddushin to be had in her. So if someone else comes along and is Mekadesher, he's chopping that other part of the Kiddushin. So that's Me'ayom Lachar Shloshim, you could be Chal in such a way. But a Gerushin, Me'ayom Lachar Misa, is not Chal Meikra Din at all, because any get that has any sort of Shiur is not a get. I mean, Rabbi Yochanan Shita would say, yeah, that would work by Kiddushin. But by a get, the halacha is you need krisus, you need to be kores bein olivena. There can't be anything left over in a get, and therefore the whole thing would be invalid. Me'ayom alach remisa is not a suffik. We know for sure, according to Rabbi Yochanan, what it would be. It would be a big fat zero. It would be nothing. Me'ayom alach remisa. So our Gemara assumes, like Rav, and that's very chashuv that we have a stam of the shas that assumes like Rav. That's why the Ramban points out the fact that our Gemara just assumes like Rav that it's a safek. So you see that the halacha must be like Rav and not like Rabbi Yochanan. The Rashba disagrees. He says, you can't prove from our Gemara one way or the other. The fact that our Gemara assumes like Rav is because the whole kasha was only according to Rav. According to Rabbi Yochanan, there was no kasha to begin with, because according to Rabbi Yochanan, it's pasha that a matana of me'ayom alach remisa means that the guf should be me'ayom.
when the parish should be la'achar misa, because that's the way he understands ma'ayom la'achar whatever, always, that it's starting now and it will be completed then. And over here, it's so obvious what that means. So that's why we're working within Rav, because according to Rabbi Yochanan, there never would have been a discussion to begin with. Says Gemara Vayter, Rabbi Yossi Yomer Eino Tzarek. Rabbi Yossi says it's not necessary to say ma'ayom, it's automatically assumed anyway, that you want it to be chal, you want the kinyan haguf to be chal right now, and the kinyan peros la'achar misa. So says Gemara, Rabbi Bar Avuah Chalish. Rabbi Bar Avuah got sick once. Al gabei Rav Huna Rav Nachman. Rav Huna and Rav Nachman went to visit him. Amar Rav Huna Rav Nachman, Bay Minei Alach Rav Yossi Oyin Alach Rav Yossi. Ask him the shaila. Do we paskin like Rav Yossi that you don't need to say ma'ayom, or do we not paskin like Rav Yossi? So that's what Rav Huna told Rav Nachman to do. So Amar Lei, Rav Nachman said back, Taimid Rav Yossi Le'adana Halacha Yibayim Minei. I don't even understand Rav Yossi. How am I supposed to ask whether the Halacha is like him? I don't even really know what he says. Amar Lei At Bay Minei Yalachi Ilo. Don't worry, you don't have to understand. Just ask the question. I'll explain to you what the svara of Rabbi Yossi is later on, which is an uncomfortable position. You know, a lot of times people will call me up. Oh, if you're meeting with Rav Shachter, can you ask him this? I don't know what this is. I don't know anything about this. I'm going to ask the question. He's going to give an answer. I'm not going to report it back correctly. It's much better if you understand what's happening. So you can say he wanted to know what's. But he says no. Just ask him what the halacha is like Rabbi Yossi. So I'm like, at boy minei halach, he loved the time anam minelach. Okay, so boy minei. So he asked. Amalei, hach yom rav, halach Rabbi Yossi. We pass like Rabbi Yossi. Basu dinafku amalei, hainu time of Rabbi Yossi. He says, okay, now as promised, I'm going to tell you what Rabbi Yossi's logic is. Damar's manul shal shtar mochiyah halav. That Rabbi Yossi's logic is that the date in the shtar is, you don't need to say me'ayom, you have a date on the shtar, so of course it's me'ayom. Why else would you be writing that date if it was only going to be chal li'achar misa? So that's the discussion. What if there is a good explanation of why you're writing that date? Let's say the shtar says, this should be chal 30 days from now. When's now? So you need the date in order to know that it should be. So then you don't say Zmano Shel Shtar Mochiach Alav, that it should be Chal from right now, because obviously you needed to write the date. So that's how some of the Rishonim say. The Beis Yosef says no, that's incorrect. That's a bad example. Beis Yosef says you don't have to write the date if you're writing a Shtar. This should be Chal 30 days from now. Just write the date of 30 days from now. The fact that you didn't just write the date of 30 days from now, you wrote today's date, and this should be called, then we would still say Zmano Shel Shtar Mochiach Alav, that something has to be happening today, that there's got to be something that's happening already right now. Tani Nami Achi, Rabbi Yosef Marino Tzarek Mnei Shel Zmano Shel Shtar Mochiach Alav. Rabbi Yosef says you don't need to say Me'ayom, and the logic is because Zmano Shel Shtar Mochiach Alav. By the way, the post can point out that if there's a good reason why you need to write the date, not because you want it to be called right now, let's say person's writing a tzava'a. He's a person who's always thinking about what his legacy is going to be after he dies. So he writes another tzava'a every 2 weeks. So he better write the date on it, because we need to know what the last tzava'a is. So that's not a Zmano Shel Shtar Mochiach Alav situation. That's, of course, there's an explanation of why he wrote it. So Rava asked Rav Nachman, what if a shtar has a hakna'a, meaning there's a kinyan sudar that says that sadei nesuna la'achlach misasi, and it doesn't say me'ayom, so but there's a kinyan suda that was done on this. Do Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi argue about that as well, or is it only by a shtar without a kinyan sudar? Samalei ba'akna eino tzarech. Ooh, if there was a kinyan suda, then you don't need to write me'ayom. Even according to Rabbi Yehuda, me'ayom is unnecessary. The kinyan sudar makes it happen me'ayom. Rav Papi Yomar ika akniyasa de tzarech v'ika akniyasa de lo tzarech. So there's more nuance than that. It depends how the kinyan sudar is described in the shtar. Sometimes you need to say me'ayom, sometimes you don't. Akniye v'kanina minei. If in the earlier part of the shtar it says akniye, and then later in the shtar it says v'kanina minei lo tzarech, you don't have to write me'ayom, because it sounds like those are two kinyanim, that you're makna to the makabel, and also that we did, meaning that he was makna to the makabel, and that we, the edim, were also kona on behalf of the makabel. So by doubling it up, that's a yifoy koach of the makabel to be kona me'ayom without even saying the word me'ayom. But kanina minei v'akniye. But if you reverse the order of the way you phrased it, you first said kanina minei, and then later the shtar you wrote ba'akniye, then sarich, then you do need to say mehayom, because that's not just a double expression. We assume that the edim are explaining that we did a kinyan sudar for the makabel by the hakna'a of the nose. same. So it's not to be miyapes kocho. And therefore, you would need to write me'ayom according to Rabbi Yehuda. Masr of Chanina Misura, mi'ika midi da'anan le'adin v'safri yadi. Come on, you think the scribes who are writing these shtaros know the difference between whether you say v'kanina minei first and akhaniye second, or vice versa? 90% of the rabbis don't know the difference between putting it that way or the other way. How are the scribes going to know the difference? They're stam, they're technicians. They write shtaros. They don't know about such details. So shalul safri dabai viadi safri drava viadi. So we said, well, let's see. So they asked all the sofrim and they all knew. Meaning they know their own malacha. They know that that's the language of the shtar. That's necessary. Rav Hundred of Shua Amar Beinak. Sometimes they'll have a doctor that will say, will the pharmacist know? And very often an honest doctor will say the pharmacist will know a lot better than me. I may be the doctor who understands exactly how this works or whatever, but that's the way he knows it. So it could be on the pecking order of, we should be higher up, but that's his malacha. That's how he knows what he's doing. So Rav Hun Brei Rav Yeshua Amar, Bein Akniyeh V'Kanina Mineh, Bein Kanina Mineh V'Akniyeh, Lo Tzarech. Whichever way you order it, whichever way you arrange it, you don't need to write Me'ayom. U'beduchran Piskame Dahave Banpana Pligi. And the whole machlokas Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi is only in a shtar that they write, that the Eidim write. This is a Zikaron Devarim that we had, meaning we're not being made on any Kenyan suit. It was just that this guy told us that we should give this matana to the so-and-so. Amar Rav Kanam Nisa L'Shemayit Kamed Rav Zid Min Ardova Amar Li Itu Nachi Masninula. That's the way you have the conversation. Nachi Masninula. We have it expressed as follows, that Amar Rav Nachman Bahakna'a Einot Tzarech, that when there is a Kenyan Sudar, you never need to say Mehayom. Bein Akniyeh V'Kanina Meh, Bein Kanina Meh V'Akniyeh. Doesn't make a difference which way you ordered the Lashonos in the Shtar. Lo Tzarech. You don't need to write Mehayom. And Beduchron Piskami Dahavu Banpana Pligi. The whole Machlokas Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi is only if there was no Kenyan Sudar at all, and they're just saying we're writing Stam Azikaron Devarim. Hakosev Nechasev Lebno Lachar Moso. If let's say the son sells a guy writes his nechasim to his son that it should belong to the son la'achar moso. So itmar machar ben b'chaye av umesa ben b'chaye av. So our Mishnah discussed what happens if the son sells his rights in that in that property. So the Mishnah said, okay, so the lokeach is only going to get it after the father dies, just like the son only would have gotten it after the father dies. Yeah, what happens if the son now predeceases the father? So does the guy never get it? Amar Rabbi Yochanan lo kana lokeach. Reish Lakish amar kana lokeach. Rabbi Yochanan says the lokeach gets nothing. Reish Lakish says, yeah, the lokeach still gets it after the father dies, because he now stands in place of the son, and he gets exactly what the son would have gotten. What's the basis of this machlokas? Rabbi Yochanan lo kana lokeach kinyan peres kinyan aguf dami. Lokeach doesn't get anything because the father owns the kinyan peros, and that is the same as owning the kinyan aguf. Kinyan peros is kinyan aguf dami. So therefore, the owner of the peros is considered the real owner, because that's primarily what it's supposed to be used for. So since during the father's lifetime the father owns the kinyan peros, he's the owner of the property, so the mechira of the ben is not going to be chal while the father's alive at all. It's only after the father dies that the mechira would be chal. But over here, the ben died first. So it's all because kinyan peros kinyan aguf dami. Reish Lakish amar kana lokeach. Lokeach is kana because kinyan peros lav kinyan aguf dami. The son really owns it. The father only has a kinyan peros. That is not the same as a kinyan aguf. I didn't Reish Lakish Rabbi Yochanan already have this machlokas? V'fligu b'chad azimna di itmar hamocher sadeu l'peros. If a person sold his field just for the peros, so the lokeach only owns the peros, he doesn't own the guf hakarka. Now the lokeach wants to bring bikurim. Can he bring bikurim? Rabbi Yochanan Amar, maybe v'kore. He could bring and he could read the parsha sabikurim, even though he's referring in the parsha sabikurim to his land. Reish Lakish Amar, maybe v'eino kore. Then no, you could bring the bikurim, but you cannot read the Parshas Habikurim because it's not from your own land. Rabbi Yochanan, maybe Karek Sam Kinyan Peros Kinyan Aguf Dami. Why can you be maybe Vikore? Because owning the Peros is as good as owning the land. Reish Lakish maybe Eino Karek Kinyan Peros Lav Kinyan Aguf Dami. So you see, they already have this Machlokas. Why do I need to have the Machlokas again? So Amalecha Rabbi Yochanan, Afakav the Bialma Kinyan Peros Kinyan Aguf Dami. Rabbi Yochanan might tell you, generally Kinyan Peros is Kinyan Aguf Dami, but Hach, over here where the father has the Kinyan Peros, it's Israel. That once he sold the Kinyan HaGuf, not to anybody, he gave the Kinyan HaGuf to his son. So you might think that he's mochel and that he lets the son be the primary owner, even though he retains the Kinyan Peros. Therefore, we have to be told otherwise. That even though generally speaking, Kinyan Peros is lav Kinyan HaGuf Dami, but over here, we need to be told this din again, because Salkadai Techamina, I would think that's only when you are selling something and you're leaving yourself the Kinyan HaGuf, but you sold off the Kinyan Peros. But when you are giving away the Guf and you're keeping the Peros, not giving away the Peros and keeping the Guf, maybe that would be different. Kamash Malan, that's why it has to tell me that it doesn't make a difference if what you sold was the Peros or what you sold was the Guf. It's not going to make a difference. It's going to be the same halacha of Kinyan Peros Lav Ki Kinyan HaGuf Dami. So Bez Hashem will continue that discussion of Kinyan Peros Kinyan HaGuf tomorrow with Esavei.